Ooh. I don't know about y'all, but boy, I already feel the Lord here tonight. And that last song was one of my favorites, Lord, I Need You. And if we ever get to a place in our lives where we don't need God, we have missed the mark. Tonight, we're going to be in the book of 2 Timothy chapter number 1, if you have your Bibles. This morning we talked about the salvation and how good it is, and tonight we are going to talk about the family of God. The title of the message tonight is The Family of God. And before we get going, I just want to say that you need to be in the family of God. The only goal you need in life, you don't need to make a lot of money, you don't need to make a lot of friends, you don't have to do none of those things. You got to have a Jesus Christ, and you got to have a home in heaven. You got to be in the family of God. That's the only goal we should have in life. Paul is writing in 2 Timothy chapter number 1. He's writing to Timothy. In the first 7 verses, we'll back up. He's talking about Timothy's family and how they are examples to him. And we'll start tonight in verse number 7. In 7 through 11, Paul changes from talking about Timothy's family to Timothy's other family. Tonight, I don't care who your family members are, but you must have one. His name's Jesus Christ, the family of God. I'd ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's Word. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 7, we'll read 5 verses. It says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." Verse 10, "But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." Verse 11 says, "Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you tonight for these youth behind me. God, what an anointing they have in the name of Jesus. I thank you for the Holy Spirit, God, that you rain down on us, that you rain down on this youth, that you rain down on this entire congregation. And I pray right now, Father, that we would look to you, the author and the finisher of our faith. God, I'm asking you tonight to sit down in this place, Lord. If there be any sin in this place, I ask you to remove it. If there be any distractions, I ask you to remove it. God, cast it out, Lord, that we can look to you. And Father, we can finally realize if we're in the family of God. I pray if there's somebody in this parking lot, Lord, that does not know you, Lord, I pray that they wouldn't wait till the end of the service. God, I pray they wouldn't wait till the end of this prayer. I pray they'd come to the Jesus right here and right now. In Jesus' name I pray, Lord, I'm asking you to sit down, anoint this place. God, I'm asking you to come down and reign like you always do, Father. God, we commit this night to you. God, we're asking for safety and we're asking for your will to be done. In Jesus' name I pray. And all God's people said, amen. The family of God. Who is the family of God? That's the question I want to ask you. Who is the family of God? If we're looking in these verses of Scripture, we can see that if we're saved, if you've accepted Jesus into your heart, you are in the family of God. I would go a step further and say you're in the family of Jesus Christ. Hey, God is Jesus' Father, and tonight God should be your Father as well, and He should be my Father. Amen? Just like in these verses we'll read here, a blood-bought believer is in Jesus Christ. A blood-bought believer is in Jesus Christ. And tonight we're going to look at three different little perks that you have in being in the family of God. There's a lot more to go through, and we don't have enough time for that, but I want to look at three things that we see in 2 Timothy that are perks to being in the family of God. I want to say this before we go on. If you are a family member of God, you're a blood kin to Jesus Christ. Hey, if you've accepted Jesus, it was because of only His blood and His righteousness. So if you've accepted that and you have that blood in your heart, you are blood kin to Jesus. Tonight we're going to see of some people in this chapter of what Paul is saying to Timothy about what are the perks of being in the family of God. There's three things, and we'll look at them one at a time. We'll start in verse number 9. In the family of God, we are accepted. In the family of God, we are accepted. When you go back to work tomorrow and when you go back to school tomorrow, you may not be accepted. I'd go a step further and say you're not supposed to be. But in Jesus Christ, in that family we have, you are accepted through Him. Verse number 9 says this, "Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." God cleansed us through salvation. That is the first step. And every time I preach, whether we're in here or we're over there with the youth, you must be saved. Step number one, if you don't know anything in life, you must be saved. You must have the blood of Jesus on your life. And Paul is telling Timothy that's the number one priority you got. And when you accept Jesus, you are accepted. God has cleansed us with salvation. And through verse 8, it talks about, number one, we were once in a different family than Jesus. Did you know that? I'll give you a verse. Ecclesiastes 7:20 says, "For there was not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not." Psalms 51:5 says, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." And shameless plug, the youth group is doing Psalms 51. We're going straight through that chapter right now of becoming all new material. And in verse number 5, it says, "I was shapen in iniquity, and my sin did my mother conceive me. So we're seeing in those two verses that we were once a part of a different family. Jesus Christ has not always been my Father. Jesus Christ has not always been my Lord. On the day I got saved, I swapped families. Hey, when somebody gets married, they swap a family. They gain a family member. And I want to give you something tonight. You don't gain a family member. He's your only family member now. When you get saved, you lose Satan. Hey, he ain't a part of your family no more. We were born into sin, as Psalms 51 says. And that's the thing. We were once dead in trespasses and sins because we were born in sin. And I go to say this when I'm over there. Sometimes it's not really fair that we were born in sin. It's not really fair that I was born and there was nothing I could do to get saved. There was nothing I could do to be blood bought without Jesus Christ. It's not really fair, but it's just. It's not really fair, but it's just. Because of the sin of Adam and Eve, we have to pay the penalty. We were born in sin. It's not really fair sometimes, and I get in a pity party about that. Lord, why sometimes is it me? Why are you putting this on me? But hey, if I was in those shoes, I'd do the same thing. There's nothing we can do. And even the Bible says, our greatness is foolish rags. The best thing I've got is nothing. And if I can't give you anything else tonight, and if you don't understand nothing else, the only way you're going to get to heaven is through Jesus Christ. The only way you're going to get accepted is through the blood of Jesus Christ. And we understand that through the cleansing and through the salvation, we are accepted in the family of God. 1 Thessalonians 4:7 says, "For God hath not called us into uncleanness, but unto holiness." And I'll give you a little bit example of being clean and being in the family of God. If you'll look, my truck right now is in the shop. And I've been driving my papa's truck. Well, I've had it for about 3 to 4 weeks now, and my truck ain't got fixed yet, which is, it's kind of a perk because that thing's a lot nicer than mine. But anyway, I get to drive that thing every single day, and I have started to take some kind of a liking to it. Man, I really enjoy that good-looking truck. I really enjoy that high-dollar machine that I don't have. And by the way, it's not mine. Hey, salvation's not only mine, it's Jesus Christ too. It's His Son that died for me. It's His Son that paid the price for who I am. And going back to that example, I asked my papa one Wednesday night, I said, "Man, I sure am taking a liking to that thing. Hey, I sure do like driving that thing around. Hey, I sure like going down the road and people not laugh at the thing I'm driving." You know what he told me? He said, "That's good, get it back clean." Church, I'm telling you tonight, your salvation isn't yours. It is only because of the love Jesus Christ gave you on the cross through His Son. It is not yours. It is not mine. But it's still what we're driving. Amen? Hey, we got salvation and we're trying to be clean. And I'm going to get that thing back clean to Him one day. I may drive it for a few more weeks, but hey, I'm going to get that thing back clean. But that's what we're talking about, getting cleaned through Jesus, being accepted in the family of Jesus. We got to understand, number one, we are accepted because God cleansed us. We are accepted because God calls us. Let's go back to verse 9. It says, "Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace." He has called us with a holy calling. Not only a holy calling, verse 9 also says, He cleansed us, He called us, He chose us. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ chose you. He chose me. We sung a song just a while ago, "What a Beautiful Name." And the verse or the quote that I like in that song the most is, "God didn't want heaven without us." So you know what He done? He brought heaven down. He brought His Son, His only Son, to die for me and you, so that we would have a place in heaven. God chose me. God chose you. Verse number 9, it says, "According to His own purpose and grace." There's nothing I can do. There's nothing we can do to get that. We're still chosen by God. We got to see that we're chosen. He's chosen us not only to save us, but He's chosen us for a purpose. He's chosen us that we may do something with it. Getting saved is the number one thing you must get, but if you don't step out any time after that, you will live a miserable life. Amen? If you don't step out on what God's called me and you to do, you will live a miserable life. But because we're accepted, because we have that purpose and grace, like verse 9 says, we have to do something with that salvation. It says in 1 Peter 1:18-19, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers." Verse 19, "But with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot." Jesus Christ came on this earth and there was nothing wrong with Him. He was perfect. And I'm going to give you something. The only way you're going to obtain perfection, and I said this Wednesday night in class, you cannot be perfect in this world. But by golly, you can sure try. Everything we do is supposed to live up to the name of Jesus Christ. Everything you do when you go out to work or you go out to school tomorrow, you must put Jesus first. He's the only way to obtain perfection. And one day I will be perfect. One day when I get to heaven, amen, I will be perfect. But right now my goal is not to be perfect. It's to look to Jesus. It's to look to that perfection. And because I look to Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith, I will obtain it one day. Because of that acceptance in the family of God, because of the precious blood, because of what Jesus Christ gave us, the purpose and the grace, we are accepted by Him. It was a choice by God Almighty eons ago to love you and me. I wrote that down. It wasn't something God concocted up yesterday. It wasn't something He looked at when you were born. It wasn't something He looked at when I was born. There's nothing we can do to obtain Jesus Christ. But a long time ago when He created this earth, He looked at me and He looked at you. And you kind of, and how big is God? There's some things you'll never understand. There's some things I'll never understand. But God is big, folks. He's so big. He's beyond imaginable. You can't think things up that He has already not thought about. And we're looking at how, and one of the big things is, hey, He accepts me. A dirty old sinner. Once dying and going to hell, but now I have a home in heaven. Amen? We are accepted by God, and you are accepted by God if you accept Jesus into your heart. That's number one, being the family of God. Let's go to the second thing. Verse number 10, not only are we accepted in the family of God, but number two, in that family of God, God appears to us. God appears in my life, He appears in your life, and I will stop and say this, I've never seen God like I see everybody else sitting out here. I've never seen Him in that fashion. And people ask me, hey, how do you know God's real? Oh. He lives in my heart. Church, if you are looking out in the world and you're trying to find God, I want to give you a newsflash. You won't find Him there. You won't find Jesus Christ on the street corner. You won't find Jesus Christ anywhere in that lustful, in that sinful, in that world. And by the way, the ruler of this world is not Jesus Christ. The ruler of this world, this earth that you're living in, and this earth I'm living in, is not reigned by Jesus. Okay, you can go around and look and see that. You know who the principality of this world is? It's Satan himself. All the principalities and the powers, and because you have a different dad, now that you are born into a different family, we don't look to the world no more, church. We don't look to Satan. We look to Jesus. We look because we're accepted and because He appears to us. Verse number 10 of 2 Timothy, we'll get back, it says, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Number one, God brings you and me, when we look at Him, when He appears to us, He gives us victory in Jesus' name. Church, you don't have to live like you're depressed. You don't have to live sad. You don't have to live angry because of what Jesus done on the cross of Calvary, because He has accepted you and because He appears to you. In verse number 10, it says, appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ. You know why we have victory? Verse number 10, because He has abolished death. Church, I don't have to die. I'm going to have to die fleshly, but I will not die spiritually. And if there's any, and the number one thing in life that scares me is physical death. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm scared to death of dying. I'm scared to death of physically dying. Oh, but I'm not scared of spiritually dying. It will never happen. If there's something you got to cling to tonight, if there's something that you are struggling with, you just got to understand one thing, that if you've got Jesus, you will never spiritually die. You'll live forever. And that's the first thing, as God appears to us, we have victory. God brings us that victory, but also He brings us life. Brother BJ read a verse this morning, and I have told myself every single time I get up here to preach, I'm going to read this verse. And I'm going to read it right here, John chapter 10, verse 10. It says this, the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and destroy. And we're talking about God bringing us life. It says Satan comes. Hey, our used to be dad. Our used to be family comes to steal and to kill and destroy. He comes, you know what? Satan has nothing good for you. The sinful flesh, hey, it's fun for a season. But let somebody tell you sin ain't fun. Man, it's fun. John 10, 10, it says, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. He wants you to be a part of that sin for a long time. But it says, He brings us victory. He brings us life. The second part of that verse is what I want to key on. I have come, Jesus saying, I have come but that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly. Church family, if you don't get nothing else, the victory we have in Jesus Christ, I've done nothing to obtain it. Man, if you walk down life's highway and you think that you've got it made and you think that you are rolling along without God, I promise you one day you'll fall straight on your face. I've done it many times, thinking I'm ahead of God. Shame on me. But because God has accepted us and because He appears to us, just like He appeared right here in the old-fashioned days, and in the old times, in the Bible, when this was written just under 2,000 years ago, He appeared then too. Just like He appears to me and you every single day, He brings us victory. He brings us life. Verse number 10 says He brings us immortality as well. Man, I got to reading this verse, and I saw that word immortality, and I had no idea what it meant. So I got in the dictionary, and the definition of immortality is this: unending existence. Man, church, if you don't want to get fired up, now's the time. You have life through Jesus. You have it more abundantly, But you have immortality through Jesus Christ. There is, because of the salvation that He brought down, because of His Son that He brought down, we can live forever. We can live with immortality. We can live through victory in life and immortality. We can live through the light that Jesus Christ brought. John, 1 John 1:5 says, "This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and Him is no darkness at all." Man, if you want to live in life and you want to live in victory and you want to live in Jesus Christ, you have to live in the light of God Almighty. You have to live in that bright and shining star. You have to look to Jesus, the author and finisher. You have to understand that He appears to us every single day if you want Him to. The only time I don't want to see God is when I don't want to see Him myself. The only time I miss God is when I don't want to see Him. The only time God passes me by is when I don't want Him to. Church, I'm telling you, you got victory in Jesus. Man, we once was going to hell. I was once going to hell. But I have victory through Jesus. Because of the appearing, because of not only that, because of the acceptance and the appearing, He brings us victory, life, immortality, light, power, love, and a sound mind. Verse 7 of 2 Timothy says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind." Can I tell you something, church? I've got no power without God. I've got no love without God. My mind goes crazy when I don't have God. And just like verse 7 says, you have power, you have love, you have a sound mind through Jesus Christ. That's how He appears to us. That's how not only we are accepted, it was a choice, but He appears, He brings us that sound mind, and in the family of God, we are accepted and we see His appearing. But the third thing tonight is in verse number 11. In the family of God, He appears to us. He accepts us. Sorry, I forgot. But here's what I want to finish on. He has appointed us to something. Hey, He's appeared to us. We see that we have life through Him. He's appeared. He's accepted. If you've accepted Jesus, I promise you He's accepted you. But now we got to come across the thing where, hey, God appoints us to things in our life. Let's look at verse number 11. In that family of God, we are appointed things. Verse 11 says, "Whereunto I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles." And let me break that down for us, that way we understand, because God broke it down for me. Number one, I'm appointed, in verse number 7, to preach Jesus Christ. Church, you don't have to be called to the ministry to preach Jesus. There's an old saying, and I really love it, that you may be the only Bible some people read. Hey, I hope one day they get in that Word. I hope they see Jesus themselves. But we have to be an example to people that are lost. We have to be an example to people at our work. We have to be an example to people that are in our school. We have to be examples to people at the ballpark. We must be an example to lost people every place, every single day you go. Because God has appointed us to do that. Verse 11, I am appointed to be a preacher. Number two, I am appointed to be on a mission for Jesus Christ. Verse 7, I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. We're called to preach. We're called to live on a mission. We're called to live like, number one, Jesus lived. Number two, because of the life that we see in this Word that He lived, we're called to live up to that. There's a standard with Christianity. There's a standard that I must live, may not be you, but I must live up to obtain the riches that He's going to give me in heaven. And on the authority of God's Word, I want to give you that you, when you accept Jesus, you are appointed to preach Him. You are appointed to live on mission, but you are appointed to teach and to instruct people of Jesus Christ. Let's go back to verse 7. "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. See up to verse 11. I'm appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. Yes, I'm supposed to preach Jesus. Yes, I'm supposed to live on mission. But I'm instructed to be teaching people about Jesus Christ. I don't know about you. I don't know what your calling is. And by the way, every single person in this room and in this parking lot and behind me and in front of me and on the side of me has a calling by God. There's something we don't preach no more. We don't preach no more that you can get called to be a preacher. We don't preach no more that you can get called to be a pastor. We don't preach no more that you're called to be a missionary. We don't preach no more that you can be a Sunday school teacher and a singer and all those things, run the sound. You can do all those things. We don't preach that no more, but we are trying to point people and to instruct people to Jesus Christ. The example that I can relate to in my life is this. My mom's a school teacher. My soon-to-be wife's a school teacher. And I can look at a worldly example. Hey, they're called to instruct the students in their classroom. They're called to love on them kids in that classroom, but they're called to instruct them. And I want to say the same is true in my life and in your life, church. We're called to love people. We're called to love God. And we're called to instruct them on who the man Christ Jesus is. Because you've been accepted, because I've been accepted, because God has appeared to us, and because of God appointing Himself into the things that we have, we are trying to teach them the knowledge, just like teachers do. Acts 9:15 says, and I read this morning. This is about Saul, and Saul wrote this book right here that we're going through. And this was the past that he lived in. It says in 9:15, when he was shined down on the road to Damascus, when God shined that light down in Acts 9:15, the Lord said unto Ananias, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. Church, I'm telling you tonight, because you've been accepted by God, because I have the acceptance of an almighty Savior, somebody who is way bigger than I am. Amen? Somebody who's way stronger than I am, because I have been accepted, because I've been appointed. Now I have to tell others about who He is. The only way I can obtain the riches in glory, and by the way, salvation doesn't stop after you accept Him. It's just getting started. Church, when Jesus Christ accepts us, when He appoints us, we have to understand that in the family of God, when you rep the name of Jesus, you must live up to His standard. I must live up to His standard. And church, His standard's a lot bigger than me. It's a lot bigger than you. It's a lot bigger than this church. We're called to work together, number one, to point people to Jesus. Number two, we're called individually to point people to Jesus. Because we've been in that family of God. So I want to stop and ask you a question tonight. Have you ever accepted Jesus to be your Father? Have you ever accepted Jesus and asked Him to be a part of the family of God? When's the last time Jesus appeared to you? I told you that people have forgotten of how people can get called to the ministry. But hey, church, when's the last time God appeared to you? When's the last time you prayed and you felt the Holy Spirit come into your life? When's the last time, as in Acts says, the stirring up of the Spirit, and not only in that, in verse 6 of 2 Timothy, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God. When's the last time God appeared to you and stirred that gift that you have because you've been accepted? When's the last time, because we've been accepted and now He's appeared to us, when's the last time that God has appointed you to something? And in my life, I don't know about you, but I'll say in my life, God has appointed me to live for Him. But when I start fading a little bit, when I get further and further away from God, hey, that Holy Spirit gets a little bit weaker, a little bit weaker. Not that nothing He's done, by no means. There's nothing that God doesn't move. Church, God does not move in your heart. God does not move in my heart. But because of the steps I've taken away, sometimes I lose that anointing from God. Amen? Sometimes I lose what God has given me because He's so gracious. He's gave me a purpose, and because He's appointed me to the family of God. So I'll close with this, church. Are you in the family of God? Has there been a time in your life where you've accepted Jesus Christ to be your Savior? And if that's so, the second thing is, when the last time you felt Him move in your life? Because we have a daddy named Jesus, because we have a Savior named Jesus, we're called out of this world. We're called to live for somebody who's out of this world. I'm asking you tonight, when's the last time you felt God move in your life? When's the last time you said, God, You're my Father, You're my Maker, and I love You? When's the last time you thanked Him? Amen. Hey, I try to thank God every day for what He's blessed me with. Hey, there's nothing I've done. Nothing I've done for Him to bless me, church, but He still keeps on doing it. And if there's a blessing in your life that you haven't thanked Him for, I want to encourage you. Man, you thank God for what He's done. Are you in the family of God? Let's pray. Father, I love You. I thank You for the opportunity, oh God, that You have given me to preach thus saith the Word of God. I am thankful, Lord, that that day when I got called out by You, I was accepted in the family of God. Lord, I'm asking You to rain down on this place tonight. If there be any sin, if there be any darkness, if there be anything that's not of You, I pray that You would bring them to the altar, Lord. They can accept You and that they can feel Your presence. Lord, I pray that when we leave this place, we've been changed by the Holy Spirit of heaven. I love You. I thank You that I have been accepted and that I am in the family of God. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.